The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
I almost feel bad that you don't get to hear that again the next hour like I do. It's such a great song. They're taking the ballots. We don't want any of you sneaky people up here, you know, overloading a ballot box or something like that. So taking them out of here. I read a story this week about a young man who came into a pretty formal, traditional congregation. He just became a believer, just been saved, and he was enthusiastic and he was expressive, and they sang their first song. He sat down on the very front row. He said, "Amen," and kind of startled everybody. And then all of a sudden the soloist got up and sang. Didn't sing as good as Gabe did, but sang a song, and he shouted, "Praise the Lord," and everybody just kind of looking at him. And preacher got up and introduced his sermon, and after his opening remarks, the guy said, "Preach on, Pastor." And finally, an old deacon got up and came and sat down beside him and said, "Son, you're going to have to be quiet." The kid said, "But you don't understand. I just found Jesus. I got excitement." He said, "I don't care what you got. You didn't get it here." Well, I hope you get some of that here. We didn't know how long all this process was going to take today, and a special day. But I want to talk with you for a few minutes about loving our church. I love my church. I love my church, and I love what God has done in the ministry of our church. But more important, I want to love my church the way God loves the church. And when I think about how God loved the church, he loved the church sacrificially, because the Bible says that he loved the church so much he gave his son to die for the people who would become the church. I want to love the church like Jesus loved the church, because the Bible says that Jesus gave his life for the church. So God the Father loves the church, and he loves the church when it's up and when it's down, and he loves the church when it's good and when it's not so good, and he loves the church when he's pleased with it and when he's not pleased with it. He loves the church eternally, unconditionally. And I want to love the church, love my church, you know, not mine possessively, the church that I'm a part of. This is God's church. This is Jesus' church. He's the head of the church. He just lets me come. But I want to love this church that he's placed me in. And if you haven't stumbled across this Bible verse, Paul wrote that the Holy Spirit places each individual in the body as he wills. You're here, I pray, because the Spirit of God put you here. Because the Spirit of God knows your gifts and your abilities, and he knows what Shadow Hills needs, and we need your gifts and abilities. That's why he's put you here. If you just arbitrarily, "Well, I'll go to any church I want to," you're ignoring scriptural principle. And the biblical principle is you pray about it, God directs you, and you get where God wants you to be. And he places us individually in the body as he will. So he's placed me here because of some of my gifts and abilities. And I want to love this place the way he does, and I want to love this place the way Jesus does. And the Bible says there is a blessing. There is a blessing for people who love the church the way God loves the church. A blessing for people who love the church for the right reason and love the church in the right way. So I want to share with you three ways that I want to love my church more, and I want to challenge you to love our church more. And put them in the sense of a beatitude. Blessed is the believer, because you have a blessing when you love the church the way God does, the Father and the Son. Blessed is the believer who gives his loving affection. There's a Bible verse in 1 Chronicles 29 that says, "Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasure of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. That's David, King David, of David and Goliath fame. King David says, I am providing for the house of God. Now, David wanted to build the house of God. He wanted to build the temple. It was a desire of his heart. It was an honorable desire. It was a good desire. But God said, David, you don't get to build the temple. Basically, God said, David, you got too much blood on your hands. Even though that was the desire of David's heart, he wanted to build the temple. But God said, no, Solomon is going to build the temple. Well, at that point, David could have said, fine, let Solomon build the temple. I just won't have anything to do with it. You know, he could have said, there's nothing in it for me. He could have said, I'm not going to give to a house of worship that's designed by somebody else and benefits somebody else. I'm not going to help build a house of worship that David never even got to attend, by the way. He didn't even live to see it finished. And he could have said, I'm not going to do that. He could have said, what's in it for me? But he didn't do that. David said, the temple is not for man. It's for the Lord. And David is saying, I love this church because it is God's church. And I will tell you that like David, I feel that this place is not for man, it is for the Lord, to make the name of the Lord known, to share the love of God. Whatever buildings we build, they are built for the glory of God and for reaching people and preaching the word of God to the world. I don't know how much David gave, but somebody has guesstimated that he gave $20 billion in today's value to build the temple. That impresses me. If you've got a billion laying around that you just don't know what to do, write us a check. That impresses me. But it doesn't impress me so much what he gave as to why he gave it. Look what the Bible says here in verse 3. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I have provided for this holy temple. Why did he provide for this holy temple? My devotion to the temple of my God. He gave to God's house because he loved God. He gave to God's house, the building of the house, because he loved God. So here's a question for you. Do you love God's church? You know, do you love his church? I'm not asking if you love me, not asking if you love the staff. I'm saying, do you love God's church? Because if you do, then you do what the Father and the Son did. You give sacrificially. You know, the Bible says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if Jesus were a physical member of Shadow Hills, he would come next week and give his offering because he loves the church. He loved the church enough to give his life for it. So, do you love the church? Here's another question. If you do love the church and you give to the church, why? Why do you do that? Now, I've known some people that they give to this church because they need the income tax break. Well, we will take that money, but I don't think you get credit for it in heaven. We give because we love the church. God sees not just what you give, he sees why you give. And if you give for any other reason than the fact that you love this church, then you're doing wrong. You know, let me tell you something about my boys. I got two boys, and for years and years and years, we have put food on the table for those boys. We still put food on the table for those boys. They're in town. I'll tell you where they eat. They either eat at my house, my food, or they eat with me at a restaurant, my pay. We put food on the table. We've given these boys all the necessities of life. Give them clothes and shoes. We even gave them some luxuries of life. If I had the money that I'd spent on these boys, I'd have retired a long time ago. But you know what? I didn't just do that when I was happy with them. I did it all the time. Why? Because I love them unconditionally. They're my boys. My father loves me unconditionally. And I give because I love him. Not because I get my way. I don't get my way. It's not my way that matters. It's God's way. I heard a story about a little boy that about 4 or 5 years old. He said to his mother, he said, "Mama, when I get older, I'm going to be rich, make a lot of money, and I'm going to give you a fur coat, and I'm going to give you a diamond ring, and I'm going to give you a Mercedes-Benz." She said, "Well, son, that'd just be fine." 2 or 3 days later, he's acting up. She jumped all over him, and he looked at her, and he said, "There goes the fur coat." Let me just go back to what David said. David says there's only one reason to give to the church, because I've set my affection on the house of God, so I'm going to give. So no matter what you do, whether it's giving your offering or singing in the choir, sharing in a Bible study, or sitting in a pew, you do it because you love Jesus. Second thing, blessed is the believer who gives his loyal allegiance. From Nehemiah 10, the Bible says, "We will not neglect the house of our God." Now, that word neglect, I looked for a way to give you a real impression of what that means, because it's not an ordinary word. It's a word that has deep feeling. It's a word that is a critical word. Neglect, it means to let go. It means to let loose. It means, literally, it means to desert. And though it's a painful description, it's like a man deserting his wife of 25 years to hook up with somebody that's 20 years younger than him. It's that kind of painful desertion. And Nehemiah says, we don't desert the church for anything. We don't leave the church for anything. We don't neglect the church. And neglecting the church, and you're here, you're thinking, well, he's preaching to the choir, we're here. Well, let me tell you something. You can come and still neglect the church. You can be here every Sunday and neglect the church. I'll tell you what, in my life, in a former ministry, a long time ago in a galaxy far away, one of the meanest men in my church came every week. I would pray he wouldn't show up. See, you can come and still neglect the church, you know, or I know some people that don't come. They just neglect their... Do you know at Shadow Hills, we have nearly 6,000 people on the church roll? Why, you couldn't find half of them with a private detective. Because, you know, we don't know where they are. They just got their name. They felt good about it, got their name on it. I read a story about a little boy who had missed school one day. He was absent. He came back the next day, and the teacher said, "George, did you miss school yesterday?" And he said, "No, ma'am, not a bit." And I know some church people like that. No, we don't miss it. What about somebody that comes to the church and is just a consumer? That's neglecting the church, because if you're a believer, God's gifted you. You have some gifts and abilities that this church needs. That's why he assigns you to a church. That church needs what you've got. And if you're not serving... Let me ask you, what are you giving beyond your resources? You know, we have some homebound people, men and women. They can't physically come to Shadow Hills. Some of them right now are watching us on Facebook Live. And they write me notes and say, "I'm so glad that's on there, because we can't get to church." But they send their money faithfully. And so they have a legitimate circumstance. Well, let me ask you, what are you giving beyond your resources that show you're not neglecting the church? Because just to come and absorb everything, you know, God doesn't want you to be a spectator. He wants you to be a participator. He wants you to be a part of the game. He doesn't want you in the stands. He wants you on the field. He wants you to be a part of the team. You know, I have people say to me, I can't believe how much is done in this church. I had the privilege, and I told you about it. The Shadow Hills was honored by the city and the mayor of Las Vegas for what we've done. And when we talk to them about what a ministry like Helping Hands has done, gave away 10,000 plus items in a year to hurting people. Or we talk to them about serving our kids and how we have given thousands upon thousands of meals to homeless children in our school system. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It happens because Shadow Hills has a bunch of people who do not forsake and neglect their church. They not only use their resource, what Neil said about these kids going to minister to Muslims. You know, I heard a story one time about four people. You may have heard this story. People named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And there was a really important job that needed to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that, and everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up being everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So let me ask you something. Are you part of the everybody that is waiting on somebody to do what anybody can do, but nobody's doing it? Vacation Bible School. We're going to have more children here than we've ever had. We need you. Don't forsake the church. And then I love my church. Blessed is the believer that gives his lasting attendance. Hebrews says we should not be forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? That means I need to be consistent. Do you know that according to George Barna, the average church member believes they are faithful to their church if they go twice a month? Well, I'm sorry, we meet four times a month and sometimes five. And I would not count my truck very faithful if it started two out of four times. I'd get rid of it. God says we are to be faithful. Now, some people go to church when they're born, they get christened. And then they go to church when they get married, they have their wedding at the church. And then when they die, they have their funeral at the church. Some people say that everybody goes to church three times: when they're hatched, when they're matched, and dispatched. Well, I want you to come. We did a figure one time, and it's still pretty close to true. We discovered that today there will be 500 people at Shadow Hills that were not here last week, and they won't be here next week. But there were 500 people here last week that are not here this week that'll be here next week. Why? Just think about what could happen if we're together, if we grow together in this. Sometimes people say, well, I don't go to church because those hypocrites down there. I know there are people who are hypocrites. I'm one. I preach better than I live. I know I do. I know I do because I have to hear me preach it four times every week. You just have to hear it once. And I know that sometimes I tell you to do things that I don't do. I'm a hypocrite. I read about a farmer and a preacher one time. The preacher went to see the farmer because the farmer didn't go to church. And he said, I want you to just come to my church. Just come and visit my church. And the farmer said, no, I'm not going to go visit your church. The preacher said, why aren't you going to visit my church? He said, because there's hypocrites down there in your church. There are people in your church. I live better than the people in your church. I'm not going to go down there with a bunch of hypocrites. The pastor said, okay. A little while later, he came back out to the farmer's place to buy a pig. This was a hog farmer. And he wanted to buy a pig. And the farmer said, well, what kind of pig are you looking for? He said, I want you to sell me the smallest, ugliest, sickliest pig you got. And the farmer said, well, you don't want a pig like that. He said, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Well, the farmer was kind of amazed, and he said, I got one. And he went around to the pig pen, and he picked out this little squealing pig that was sick looking and ugly. Snout was all bent to the side. Preacher paid him for it. And after he paid him for it, he said to the farmer, he said, "I'm going to take this pig. I'm going to take this little small, ugly, sickly pig. And I'm going to show him to everybody in this community and tell him I bought him from you." The farmer said, "Well, that's not fair." He said, "Listen, I got a bunch of hogs out there. They're nicer and bigger and fatter than that one." The preacher said, "Buddy, if it's fair for the church, it's fair for the pigs." Yeah, we want to apply our determination of hypocrisy. No. Old boy said one time, "I'd rather chase a rabbit and not catch it than chase a skunk and catch it." Well, that's kind of how I feel about church. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. And so I just wanted to say to you today that I love my church, and I thank God for my church. And I love my church enough to give it my affection and my allegiance and my attendance. Winston Churchill was 66 years old when he became the Prime Minister of England, and it was not a good time in England, the years 40 to 45. It was days of war, and it was a dark day for England because they were facing a task in Europe that nobody thought they could win. Nobody thought Europe could win the war. They were climbing a mountain that nobody thought they'd ever be able to climb. They were fighting a foe that no one thought they would defeat. And when he went before the House of Commons to give his first address, Winston Churchill, this is a synopsis, this is not all of it, I had to abbreviate it a little bit, but he said to the House of Commons in his first speech, he said, "I have nothing to offer but blood and toil and tears and sweat. And we have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. So you ask me, what is our policy?" He said, "Our policy is to wage war by sea, by land, and air with all of our might and all of the strength that God Almighty can give us. That is our policy." He said, "You ask, what is our aim? Our aim is victory. Victory at all cost, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long, however hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival for the British Empire." And then I think he said the most important thing of his entire speech. So important that I put it on your listening notes. He wrapped his speech up by saying, "Come then, let us go forward together with our united strength." My church. I have given over 31 and a half years of this life. I have given you the best years of my ministry. And as long as I can, I will continue to give my ministry to this church. I don't have $1 billion laying around, but I do have blood, sweat, toil, and tears. And I'm here to tell you that Mary and I are committed, and we will join hands with you and influence this city and this state, this nation, and our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Together with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do something for the glory of God. And as we do it because we love His church. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of serving you here. I thank you for each and every experience, though some have been hard, some have been more fun than others. But you have placed us here, and we want to move forward. Move forward, your will, your way, for the glory of our Lord. Would you keep your head bowed for a minute? I don't know where your heart is today, and I know this has not been, you know, a come to Jesus thing, but I have some friends that are here. If you're hurting today, or if there's something we can do, if we can encourage you, then I invite you to come. I invite you to come today and say, yes, I just need somebody to pray for me. Or maybe your heart is geared toward doing, you know, what I've done. Give my heart to Jesus. Maybe you need to know more about what it is to love Jesus or be a part of the church family. Jacob's going to lead us as we sing. I invite you to come and say, yes, I want God to speak to my heart today. You come as he leads us.